This is RSVMB Update, episode 542, recorded Thursday, November 5th, 2015. The Indecisive Community. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVMB Update once again. Joining Earth and myself this week is one of our good friends from Clan Quest, who goes by the name of Sirion.
Hey, guys.
Yes. But of course, Earth is also here, who just heard Snicker in the background.
Hello. He's having fun already.
Yeah, we always have fun when we're with you, you know? You're the only person I can talk to and not have things go over their head about Max, Star Trek, programming, computer science, math. So you should consider that a real compliment.
I'm still finished with Star Trek, so...
In case anyone's wondering, Sirion is like me a lot, kind of.
But yes. He really is. I call Sirion Morning Shane because they're opposites. They have opposite times.
Yeah, and we serve pretty much the same purpose, so anyway.
Exactly. That's all you are, a tool. There you go.
So, oh, boy. All right. Well, this week on RS, we got an update entitled The Raptors Challenge Wyverns. So, Raptor. Let's start with the Raptors Challenge, shall we? This is basically a daily Slayer XP challenge that you can get from the Raptor. You find him south of Port Sarum. Now, what objections, Earth, did you have to the Raptor when you first saw this?
Well, I mean, don't you remember in previous times he's a asshole?
No.
the first episode he was out, I remember being like, so when do I get to kill this guy?
Okay.
He was like in Song of the Depths, right? The quest.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't remember the exact names, but we'll just go with that. Anyways. So you go to him once a day, you can get a task, and this can be any Slayer critter that you are able to kill. It's going to be based on your level more so than, you know, going to Movrin or Duradel would be in Shiloh Village. So you got that going for you. He gives double Slayer XP when you kill the thing. So imagine getting something like Rune Dragons. That would be a pretty nice task to get. Based on my polling the day that this came out, everyone seemed to get Dark Beasts as their first task. For some odd reason.
Not me. I got Arrows. Oh. And then I got Arrows again.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know whether to feel sorry for you or happy for you.
I didn't like it. I spent like 4 hours killing Arrows. I'm a bit sick of them now, actually. Especially when you finish a task, you ask for a new one, it's the same task.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah. And that goes into mm-hmm. something about these tasks. You can't cancel them, you can't skip them, and your block and prefer lists have no bearing on what you get. So it's kind of like the...
That's disgusting.
Well, it's kind of like the bad old days of Slayer, right?
You could skip the bad old Slayer task.
No, not when Slayer first came out. Not when Slayer first came out.
Couldn't you go to like the beginner Slayer master? He would overwrite the task.
But for the first 4 or 5 months of Slayer, you couldn't do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant by the bad old days of Slayer. And the reason I know this is because way back when Mike got a task of something like 100 plus steel dragons, and this was back when steel dragons were hard, and of course, you know, you're not going to complete a task like that. So he was off of Slayer for a number of months because of that until they finally brought in the way to reset your task from the beginner Slayer master. That's just a bit of RSVMB trivia right there. I know.
Steel Dragon's Heart.
I know, right? Well, I guess they are kind of hard because they're made of a steel shell, right? But
it's not all.
Oh?
What?
Oh, okay. I thought you said that's not all.
I did.
Okay. Well, we won't go into where you were going with that, but okie dokie then.
Okay.
Okay, you can have a raptor task and a regular slayer task at the same time, so you don't need to worry about canceling that, so that's good, I guess, right?
Sure.
Let's see, what else can you do with these things? Slayer helmet damage and accuracy effects work, but helmets have no interaction with the raptor gem. Slayer tower contracts are prioritized over the raptor's assignments, so if you're on a contract and you have a raptor's assignment, you'll do the contract first. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. And finally, complete 15 raptor assignments and you unlock a set of raptor-themed armor. Details on this will be coming later in the month, so that means basically you need to do one raptor task every 2 days or so.
Yep.
You going for it?
I might.
Okay.
But if the raptor keeps giving me arrows as task, I might flip the table and stop doing it.
They're not that hard, though.
They are annoying.
Take a while.
They are really annoying.
What weapons are you using?
The port wands.
Okay, that's what I used. It wasn't too bad.
Well, it took me a few kills to figure out that they have, like, two stances.
Yes, that's right.
That was kind of important to figure out, and then, yeah. I still go to a lot of food with them. So
when you're crawling on the floor, they have less defense. So that's the preferred way to attack them and just get them down right away with that.
Yeah.
And if they start pummeling you with their fists, make sure you use flurry because that stuns them. So that's how you deal with that.
Yeah, you have to use a threshold, but half the time it doesn't pick up for me because the RuneScape combat system, blah.
Okay.
That's how my arrow tasks end up going.
Well, at least you didn't die. A previous co-host of this podcast died while fighting arrows, so.
Not me.
I came close enough to dying.
Yeah. Another thing they do that's good for you, Sirion, is they drop shark.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep. I found I was able to stay there indefinitely. The only thing I needed was more prayer. But I don't have a prayer of doing that, so. No?
Nice.
No?
Okay. Nice.
Okay, thank you. At least someone appreciates it. All right. Well, Raptor's task. I don't think there's anything else really to say about these aside from it's just a special Slayer event going on this month. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting how this, like, picks up, like this month seems to be, like, the first month they're doing the themed month thing they're thinking about doing in 2016, where, like, every month is in the theme of one big update, and then the other updates are centered around it. So, you could very much see November as being a month very much themed towards Slayer and combat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting how they add a little bit of flair to it by adding a Raptor's Challenge in this case.
Yeah, and of course, Defenders later on in the month. Who's excited about those? Raise your hand.
My hand is not raised.
Okay.
I only have the bronze one, and I'm not looking forward to camping.
What?
Hill giants.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's odd. Everyone I know has the dragon one. But anyways, so yes, themed months. Community reaction to that? People seem to still want big updates every week. At least that's the perception I get.
Well, I think a big problem with these themed months is you either like the theme or you don't. Like, I'm not very much of a Slayer and combat guy myself, so I was like, eh, at this month. But if it's like a big quest lore inspired month, that's something we might find interesting, but the PVMers might be like, this sucks. So if you have big updates every week, you have more variation on a smaller scale. So that might, in the BTS, for example, you get something for all groups, and now the BTS is very much focused on one of the groups. So that might polarize the community a bit more.
You're right. And I mean, this is in effect what people voted for, so that needs to be the front of everyone's mind when we're going through these months like this. So I would say that. Plus, also, let's remember that RS is a huge game, and we don't always need to stick in our wheelhouses that we're comfortable in. We can branch out into other things that, you know, you might not think you find interesting. So if you're not a combat person, definitely have a check out at the Raptors Challenge and see if, you want to train Slayer with that. Because, I mean, double Slayer XP mid-level, that would be pretty nice. So
I mean, if you don't like combat, this is the month to do the Slayer task, because it means you have to do less Slayer overall because you get double XP.
Exactly. So that's the upshot from this. But all right. I don't think there's anything else to say on the Raptors Challenge except to go visit him if you're planning on doing combat. But as you said, the combat system itself is... what was the word you used to describe it?
Shitty.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It sucks.
All right. I have a confession.
You like the combat system?
No, I actually considered, you know, using legacy mode for a Slayer task. But then I realized, oh, I can't,
right,
because I need to use Flurry to stun them, so I didn't.
All right, so my question. Who are you?
My name is Shane.
And what have you done with the real Shane?
Don't get me wrong, I think the evolution of combat in itself is a novel idea. It still is. But there's just certain aspects of the game that don't lend itself to that kind of combat. Main one being, of course, the tick rate. But we've been around this whole rodeo before, so no reason to take the listeners to a rodeo they've already been to.
If you want to listen to the discussion about combat Shane and I had before, listen to the RuneFest episode of RSBNB podcast.
It's called RSBNB Update, by the way, but yes.
Close enough.
But yeah, I forgot we had a discussion there. But yeah. I'll slipstream a link into the notes for that. All right. Well, now what you guys are probably all waiting for, the Wyverns this week, or Wyverns.
You're the experts.
I'm not.
I don't know. Earth, is it Wyvern or Wyvern?
Skeletal Wyvern.
Okay, Wyvern it is. So, these critters require a level 96 Slayer to kill. Sirion, did you go visit them?
No, I'm scared.
They really aren't that bad.
I heard they were a pain.
Yeah, well, that's a community perspective that's wrong. But anyways... and of course, Earth here doesn't have 96 Slayers, so he was fortunate enough to luck out and not having to go check these out.
Yay!
Anyways, these are combat level 127, have 22,500 life points, and are weak to fire magic, so that means fire or blood spells is what you want to use. They're found in the Asgardian Ice Dungeon. There's a new dungeon in the Skeletal Wyvern Cave, so you just go down that and away you go. So, you might be wondering, how do you fight these? And it takes a while to figure out, but I think once you figure it out, it becomes really easy to play through. At least that's what I've found. I got in a good rhythm and whatnot, so I'll just share a bit about how you want to take these down. So first off, your loadout. You're going to need a warm fire potion, which you purchase the recipe from the lady in the Elven City. You purchase that for 200K. So you need that, definitely. You also need overloads, anti-poison plus, just one of those. Around 4 to 6 super restore potions, a prayer renewal, or super prayer renewal. Rocktails, filled in inventory with it, and a beast of burden yak, or whatever you have. Enhanced Excalibur is good, too, for a heal over time, and a teleport out is what you're also going to want, just in case you need a quick time-to-go button, which I highly recommend for this update. Next, what you're going to want to wear, you're going to need the Vampirism Aura and high-level magic armor, so this means the Port's armor or higher. Optimally, you'd be looking at the level 90 power armor, but since that costs an arm and a leg, I think you can get by with the Port's armor at level 85. Also, level 85 plus or 80 weapons, maybe. I'd say 85. You might be able to do it with 80, but 85 definitely. Once again, if you have access to the seismic wands, that would be good as well. But once again, those cost an arm and a leg.
You have to sell them before every update, so they're really inconvenient.
Huh?
You have to sell your wand for every update because, you know.
I don't
sell
know.
Wands.
Oh. Of course. Of course. The knee-jerk reactions of the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, and aside from that, you want to load up on magic bonuses. Now, did you catch the theme of the equipment that I've outlined here?
Expensive.
Yeah, and high level. So, you could do it with 80, but 85 is what I would say is the minimum of doing this. Now, action bar wise, you want Rack, Combust, Concentrated Blast, Sacrifice, Impact, Deep Impact, Asphyxiate, Wild Magic, Freedom, and Anticipate. That's what you want on the action bar. Now, when you actually get down to these guys, what you want to do is move near a fire and start that fire. Because when you light the fire and stand by the fire, it keeps you warmer. Because, of course, you're in a dungeon filled with ice, right? So, if you don't stand by the fire, you guys know what happens to you?
You get in the asshole?
Well, not in that exact wording, but you get frozen to death and you get stunned. So you can't even move. And then, well, you end up a crisp and burnt and dead.
Yay!
So, you want to stand by the fire.
Wait, what?
What?
You're frozen, but then you get burnt to a crisp? I don't understand.
Because they attack with wyvern flames.
Pretty sure that's ice breath there.
Oh, oops. Okay.
That'd make a lot more sense.
Well, it looked like a flame to me, so yeah.
It's an ice flame, Shane.
Okay, I guess I'm too narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you stand by the fire that keeps you warm. Reduces the duration of the stun from the environment. So, yes, the environment stuns you. Now, when you're fighting these, you want your Wormfire and Overload active, obviously. Now, Anti-Poison plus doesn't exactly prevent poison, but it halves the damage from the Wyvern's poison attack by half. So it's definitely a good thing to have active on you, Anti-Poison plus. And then when you're fighting them, it's just a simple matter of building adrenaline with your basics and keeping them stunned as often as you can. And that's why there's 3 stuns on this loadout right now. Impact, Deep Impact, and Asphyxiate. And combined with those 3 and Wild Magic, you can take them out pretty quickly. And that's pretty much all there is to taking them out. And once you figure out the stun rotation and Praying Soul Split, they aren't too bad.
So you aren't using the mechanic that if you get like colder and frozen, the poison damage goes down. I thought I read something like that. That there's like a mechanic. So there's a bit of a trade-off in keeping warm and get yourself colder. You're not making use of that at all. Does it not work? Or
well, here's the thing with that. It's a question of do you want to take the poison damage or do you want to be stunned? Because if you're if you're freezing yourself up. You take less poison damage, yes, but you also get stunned more. So the idea is if you use the anti-poison plus and stay, 2 or 3 squares away from the fire, you can, you know, have the poison attacks down to around 200, 300 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mechanic at work.
All right. So do you think that this is a design flaw in the mechanic? Like, it is not worth it to freeze yourself, basically. So do you think the mechanic is unnecessary? Do you think it's interesting?
Well, I think the mechanic of environment stuns is definitely a good one, and it is something we haven't seen before for Slayer. So I will say that much about it. But it's a question of, what do you prefer to manage more? Do you prefer to manage your healing more, or do you prefer to manage keeping yourself out of a stun? Personally, I prefer to manage my life points more than keeping me out of a stun. So therefore, I try to not get stunned as much as, you know, other people may.
Yeah, there are not a lot of ways of getting out of a stun, I feel.
Exactly.
There are lots of ways to get your health.
And see, that's the whole problem, is that if you don't manage the stuns, you can end up with stuns that are upwards of 20 seconds. And in doing that, you can't eat, you can't teleport, and that's pretty much a death sentence.
Yeah. All right.
So look for a video, I guess, in the podcast about how to fight these like that. Because basically the way it worked is I killed about 12 of them, and then, I died.
Shane.
So far from being an emergency teleport.
Well, I was stunned. I was stunned.
Hmm.
But the emergency teleport worked the first round, where I just went down there to get my bearings and whatnot. Because that's normally what I do, is I do a low-risk run first. In that run, I killed one, then I emergency teleported out and ended up with, like, 100-odd life points.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I can tell we aren't combat people here, but I want to say that this Slayer creature is the kind of creature that makes me want to go back and kill more of them, because it's such an interesting creature, and we haven't seen that before in RS. And that, combined with the potential reward and the community reaction, who for some odd reason hates this update, just makes it the perfect thing for me to go fight.
So I've heard that, because the impressions I got was that the Wyverns were really difficult, and that their loot was not really worth it. So I've heard some people like the drop table is not very interesting, so I'm not interested in killing them, because I can get a lot better money at Rune Dragons, for example, which are easier to kill and give better loot. Do you think that's the case, or do you think the community is misjudging that?
I think the community is wrong in that, because we need to remember that this month, as you said, is a Slayer month. And this is a new Slayer creature that is designed to first be difficult, and secondly, with that difficulty, to bring new tactics that it uses against the players. These are tactics we haven't seen before. And that is what this update should be about. It should be about the challenge of finding a way to kill these and kill them effectively, not how much loot you're going to get. Because if you want loot, you can go to the Queen Black Dragon and get 4-odd mil an hour. And call it done. And that is also very simple if you have high-level gear. So with that being said, I don't know what people are complaining about, whether it's the fact they want something that they can just sit back and kill and watch TV with, or if they are unwilling to learn something, which, I mean, wouldn't surprise me, because that's what we saw with the whole evolution of combat.
Well, the point is, people want to spend time in the game on things that give them either a lot of XP or a lot of money. That's just how the game works. And if there are different methods of getting money, they should balance the amount of effort you have to put into it against the amount of money or XP you get out of it. And if the Wyverns are challenging to get into, and then in the end don't really give a good reward, it will be dead content within days.
Well, it was already empty when I went there yesterday. So,
all right. So do you think we can expect a buff on to that loot, or a nerf to their combat mechanics?
I want to say no, because I think that that is the correct course of action here, is not to make them easier or buff the loot tables, but knowing Jagex and knowing the community, I think that will be coming in the future.
Okay, because if Jagex makes content and nobody plays it within days afterwards, that's bound to happen something there.
Yeah, but just wait, there's one more thing. Level 85 ranged crossbow, the Wyvern crossbow, currently going for 23 million GP. Yes, there's that. Two-handed crossbow, level 85. So, I mean, that is a reason to go there, and you don't need to be on a task to get this crossbow. You did initially. That's already one concession that Jagex made. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd say a chance of getting a crossbow that's going for 23 million plus on the GE right now is a pretty good reason to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not stupidly rare either, so.
All right.
I think the players are just being stone-headed with this.
Mm. Well, yeah, that might be true, but in the end, Jagex has to make content that in the and play it in some way or another, because they can't spend time on things that are not being used.
Well, so, I mean, people are going to do it this month, at least because of the Raptors challenge, because you can get these from the Raptor. And, I mean, people said the same thing about Rune Dragons when they came out, that they were too difficult. And look at Rune Dragons now. They're okay, right? So why aren't these going to be okay going forward? I mean, if you were going to make changes to the Wyverns, I would say don't change the drop tables, because you don't want this to become a camp fest and have this crossbow, you know, be absolutely worthless to the tactics that go into it. Because let's be real here, putting brain power and thought and tactics into killing a creature is something that you haven't always had to do on RS. And I welcome that challenge.
All right.
So I say don't buff the drop tables or make the Wyverns easier. If you're going to do something, maybe just change the stun mechanics or the poison mechanics just a little bit. Don't change the damage.
But you compare it to Rune Dragons, and Rune Dragons have gotten quite a few balance updates after their release, so...
I don't think that we need to do that here, and okay. I think doing it would be a bad thing.
But from your story, I can see Jagex maybe looking at the stun mechanics, maybe make it a bit more balanced, that people actually will consider going either way, or balance out the two tactics of staying warm and freezing yourself up. Because if that becomes more balanced, then maybe things get a bit more interesting about the combat.
And see, I think that just the chance of getting this huge crossbow is all the reason you need to go there, plus learning something new in a game that doesn't really require critical thinking.
Mm.
Because where in RS, this question to both of you, do you require critical thinking to stay alive?
The Elemental Workshop Free Puzzle.
Okay.
The light puzzles from the elf quests.
Okay, those are quests. How about combat?
Nope.
Nomad.
Not anymore.
That's a quest combat thing. That doesn't count.
See, you're having trouble thinking of them, aren't you?
Raids, maybe? I don't know. I never
tried raids. That's team-based. But solo-based?
Araxor.
Okay.
Araxor.
Okay. So there's one, two. This is three. Three of them. So that's my point.
So you're hoping that the other creatures that are released this week will follow a similar theme?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because they're 96 Slayer. I mean, come on. If you have 96 Slayer, you've been around the street once or twice. You can surely use some common sense in the little thing called a head to, you know, work out a tactic to destroy the creature. That's all I'm saying here is people need to use their head and not expect to be able to put the feet up on the desk and just AFK-scape combat. That's all. Which is what it's become, and that really pisses me off. And that's why I thought, okay, why am I even bothering with abilities? Why don't I just, you know, put my feet up on the desk, enable legacy mode, and call it a day, right? That's what caused me to say that earlier.
Yeah, anyway. That's old school RS like.
I know, but I mean, why not? It's so simple. Right? I don't know. As you can tell, I'm getting rather agitated with this, and I'll be even more agitated if they nerf it. All right. Tweaks and fixes. So, unless either of you guys have any further comments on the Wyverns.
Nope.
I got nothing.
All right. On to tweaks and fixes, then. Completing the growth cycle of a Calquit with an ultra-rare growth potion now correctly moves it to the check health state instead of skipping directly to the checked with max fruit state. Okay, that's good. Anyways, good. What else?
Good for all the farmers out there that still need DXP to get 120 farming. Oh, all right.
Completing the growth cycle of a Calquat with an ultra
growth
potion.
Open your ears,
potion.
I just did that one.
Aww. The maximum hit of lesser, greater, black, and... God, Shane, you need the comma there.
That was Jagex, not me.
Jagex should learn about
the The maximum hit of lesser, greater, black, and abyssal demons, including their elite versions, has been increased.
Good. Good. Good.
Now I can't AFK escape my abbeys anymore.
Who gives a shit?
I do.
It's not meant to be easy. Work your little fingers. Work your fingers. You have them for a reason, Sirion.
That means I can't do Slayer tasks while working anymore.
Who cares?
I do, because it means I can't play OS anymore doing work.
Oh my god. Buckets and plant pots can now automatically be discarded when farming with the new skilling options in escape, gameplay, and miscellaneous settings. I don't like this.
Treasure trail sliding puzzles have been reworked. They now move slightly quicker, arrow keys can move the pieces around the board, and more than one piece can be moved at a time. Excellent.
What does it mean by more than one piece can be moved at the same time? How do you do that?
You have multiple in a row that you can like move four over to the right at the same time.
Oh. That's good.
This literally was long overdue.
I concur.
That piece of content was so old and so outdated, and every time I got one of those boxes, I wasn't pissed off by having to solve a puzzle. I was pissed off by having to sit around half the time waiting until the pieces actually moved over. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I agree.
And let's let Earth read this last one about his favorite quest.
But it's so long. The Elemental Workshop 3 puzzle has received various improvements to gameplay, speeding up the player's manipulation of the machine. A layout of the machine now appears in the minigame window, with buttons mimicking functionality of the machine's various levers and showing remaining moves. God, who does this? That should be a period. That is the end of the sentence.
No, that one was me.
God, Shane. Machine tiles now all move. Machine tiles now all move together in bulk rather than one at a time. The machine can be viewed top-down or from the player's usual perspective via a toggle on the interface. Ugh. Not difficult to read.
I want Elemental Workshop Part 4.
Well, I don't, so...
Yeah, I do, actually.
I love those quests, but anyways.
That puzzle was a bit of a pain, but can't really judge what they did with it without trying the content, which is impossible.
Yeah. Anything else from the patch notes for either of you?
I didn't think they were particularly noteworthy this week.
Yeah, same. That's why I just put these ones here. All right. Mr. Earth?
Yes?
Any other patchy patch notes for you?
Hmm.
And while you're doing that, I'm just making my mouse bigger by shaking it. That's my favorite feature of the new version of OS X.
That's disgusting.
Sure. I think it's the most annoying feature of the new OS X, and I disabled it as soon as I could.
Good for you.
And it's OS X, by the way, not OS X.
It is not. The dancing party room white knights have updated their song as they no longer have plumes in their helmets.
Oh, God.
What the hell? Players are now able to prestige their boss and slayer creature kills via the Beast tab after reaching 60,000 kills.
And,
dear God.
And you see why I think people treat combat as too simple, because you get 60,000 kills in a boss. Like, if you can do that, you got it down to a science. But
how is that not a grind?
Exactly! And that's why you need more critters like the wyverns to spice combat up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting that stew from your grandparents or from some relative that you're at arm's length with, but like it looks good and everything, but when you eat it, it's just really, really bland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what combat's like. Like, it was all in good intentions and whatnot, but it just needs a bit of spice to it sometimes, you know?
I heard you can get quite a bit of spice from Evil Dave's basement.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yes.
God.
I should have expected that. But anyways, this week we had a developer Q&A on Invention. But before they got into Invention, the White Knights won the event. They had 78% of the support in the Falador event.
I am not surprised.
I supported the Black Knights.
I supported whatever catapult was closest.
Yeah, I imagine that's what most people did. Alright. So, Invention requirements are going to be flat requirements, you said, Sirion. 80 crafting, smithing, and divination.
Yep. Yeah, which means that once you get 80 crafting, 80 smithing, 80 divination, you can do all of Invention, basically. we actually talked about this during the Invest stream, where I was...
we did?
Actually really looking forward to seeing Invention being some sort of thing that runs along crafting and smithing and divination. So doing those last 20 skills before you max crafting and smithing and divination. I'm just going to call it those skills from now on. I mean, it would be really cool if it runs together. And now it's really like, get these requirements and then you can do Invention. It really feels a bit like an arbitrary bump before you can get into that Invention content, just like we have quest requirements. And not really tying into crafting and smithing and divination in any way. And I think that's a really missed opportunity. So, yeah.
I think they did it that way because it's just simpler to say, okay, player has 80 of these three skills, unlock Invention. Whereas otherwise they need to, you know, check every level and make sure you can do various things.
I mean, I can kind of see it, but it really feels as one of those bumps. And then at that point, you start something entirely new and you lose the connection with crafting, smithing, and divination, which, truth be told, could use a bit of extra content in those last levels. Because that would make those skills a lot more interesting at those levels, because you have all this invention content that ties into it. And now you get to that point, and then there is no use to those skills anymore except for their current use. So it doesn't really add anything to those skills. So they are combination skills, that's how I call them, but they don't really add anything to the skills they're part of. They just have them as requirements. And I think that is a bit of an issue.
And let's also remember that there are various items in the combat skills that require, you know, 75 constitution and 75 attack, for example. Mm-hmm. I might just be making that up. So there are ways of saying that you can have multiple requirements on doing something. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I guess it's just a design decision then.
Yeah. Yeah, and what is also bothering me a bit, and it's slightly different, but they also said during the live stream that when you start with invention, you cannot disassemble every item. So I assume that at one invention, you can maybe disassemble bronze items. And then maybe at 10 invention, you can all of a sudden also disassemble steel items. I don't know what kind of thing they're going to use there. But that also doesn't really work well with these high-level requirements of crafting, smithing, and divination, I feel. Because if you have 80 smithing, you can make pretty much everything that's mithril or adamantine. And then all of a sudden you get this whole new skill, and all you can do is disassemble bronze items, let's say. And what I also said during the RuneFest stream is how I really view invention is that it really goes well along my Slayer tasks, for example, because I get a lot of rune item drops, and I am one of those people who is not really good at inventory management. And I always forget to bring high alchemy runes. So I think it would be really cool if I could pick up those rune items, disassemble them, get those pieces, and use them sometime later. But now I have to grind invention in some way to get to the point where I can get rune item drops.
All right, well, let's just wait and see, because, I mean, we don't know if that's going to be the leveling requirement that you're going to need level X to disassemble rune.
But they did say that things like Drygor, they talked about, I think, you can't disassemble that until very late in the invention skill. So that does imply there is some sort of curve. And I'm really not sure how that's going to work out, because when you are, let's say, all level 80 and you unlock invention, you're way beyond the point of disassembling bronze and iron and steel. You're at the mithril and adamantine level, at least. So,
well, let's also remember that this was designed to create a market for those items that no one wants. So, I mean, people, you could just buy the bronze stuff that you don't have on the GE. I know you probably want to be self-sufficient, but
yeah,
there's lots of people who don't.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, this invention this way doesn't really tie into the late level skills you get. So you either have to start hoarding from level 1, and that's what you would do as an Iron Man probably, or you would have to buy everything of the GE, which also feels a bit besides the point. Like, then
yeah,
you start, I mean, that's the same as buying a lot of leather from the GE, crafting it to get your crafting level up. That it doesn't really focus on
the
skill.
Yeah, it makes it a viable skill. You're right.
It moves away from making crafting in a role-playing environment a useful skill. It makes it really into one of those grindy skills again. And I think that's really a missed opportunity, because I thought invention would go really well with your character progression and run alongside a lot of things you do in the game. And they're moving away from that, it feels.
All right.
So that's my concerns with what they announced on the stream.
Okie dokie, then. you just find that really amusing, don't you?
Amusing? Oh, no, I was
no,
just...
No, I was referring to the little chuckle that came from Reed here.
Oh.
That was Sirion, not me.
Oh, really?
I was chuckling because I was talking for like a few minutes straight about. Yeah, I'm good at rambling.
Well, it's part of the job. But batch one is coming in January. Batch two will be later in the year, so maybe they'll listen to your concerns about that. With that, we'll see though. Okay. Dev blog, no design document. They were going to do a document, but that got pushed off to the side. So, that's okay, though, right?
Yeah, and I think it's in. I mean, at this stage, I think there is no use anymore for that design document because they're already so far in. I assume that making radical changes is going to interfere with their current workflow.
Yeah, and you know if they let the players see the design documents, there will be tons of changes to come.
Yeah. Also, I don't trust the community anyway, so.
Well, that's kind of the thing I was on earlier with the Wyverns, but all right. Moving on from that, this week's Treasure Hunter promotion is the Celebration of Fire. You enjoyed that, didn't you, Earth?
Literally nothing happened.
Yeah. So you can go to the Lumbridge crater and there's a massive bonfire.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And you can blow fire and you can light firecrackers and yeah.
And you can chuckle at some of the Jagex humor they put in the dialogue. That was pretty amusing.
I didn't find it that great.
But I think Guido Fox was a nice found.
Yeah, Guido Fox or Guido.
But you can call him Guy.
Yeah, Guido Fox. I guess he's supposed to be like Guy Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We don't really celebrate that in North America, do we?
No, because it's literally just a British thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even though it's in
Do you know who Guy Fox is, Shane?
No, I don't, because we don't do it here.
God, you Philistine. Guy Fox, also known as Guido Fox, the name he adopted while fighting for the Spanish, was a member of a group of provincial English Catholics who planned the failed gunpowder plot of 1605.
Hence why it deals with explosions, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it said you can get more of the poi and solution from Alice, and I was wondering who the heck is Alice?
It's the treasure,
the treasure hunter lady.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea she had a name.
Oh my god, Shane! How did you miss that?
I don't know. Where was this stated?
In every treasure hunter update.
Oh.
Also, if you right-click on her, you can talk to her.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I never knew that. Wow. All right. And this runs from 5th to 9th November. Okay. Oh, it's also worth noting you get a 25% fire-making XP boost. So if you want to do fire-making, this would be the weekend to do it.
And there are like bank chests literally next to the bonfire, so yeah.
Excellent time to train fire making. And it always acts as if 5 people are there for XP boosting. So very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, there's the RS updates for this week, everyone. We're going to move on to the questions right now. But anything RS related before we go?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, the first one is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day all, Parnassius here once again. Firstly, congrats on attaining the 120 Master Farming Cape, Shane. Anyway, on with my question. I currently use Trend Micro as my main antivirus for my computer, and the subscription is almost up. They have increased the price this year, so I was wondering if you think the free Windows Defender is just as good, or if I should spend the money and buy the paid Trend version once again. Next, onto a RuneScape question, and what are your thoughts about Jagex caving in once again to a small vocal minority who just want everything handed to them on a silver platter and increasing the points earned at the Halloween event? While it was a little grindy, it was possible to earn 5 to 6k points pretty easily in an hour before the buff, which I believe was more than adequate. What do you think? Should they have buffed it, or do you believe the initial release was okay? Anyway, once again, thank you for the great podcast, and happy RuneScaping to all.
All right.
Windows, I think the first antivirus part is for Earth.
Yes.
What, the antivirus? But, I mean, unless you're doing sketchy stuff, you probably don't even need an antivirus, honestly. But, yeah, Windows Defender. Unless you're doing sketchy stuff. Which, I mean, if sketchy. You are, like, torrenting, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so just Windows anything. Defender paired with Malwarebytes, the free version, that's what I use. I'm fine.
Yeah, I just run vanilla Defender as well. I don't run.
I would definitely get Malwarebytes and potentially Spybot Search and Destroy if you're not using those already. But yeah, you'll be fine with Windows Defender.
And what does Malwarebytes do?
It detects malware and removes it.
All right. Sounds good. And Spybot Search and Destroy, a good
same
old
thing.
Ancient tool from way back when. And with
it
this
also has a fantastic name. So
yeah, it does. It really does. I'd also like to say that it comes into behavior at this point that if you, you know, are very careful with your computer, you don't open strange attachments, you don't click on strange links, you don't download programs that you don't know what they do, you don't download programs that just randomly appear in your downloads folder. And if you do all those things, you can stay pretty much safe on the computer. These days, I think.
And if you really have to open one of those programs, you can download a little program called Sandboxy, I think it's called.
That basically I tried that and I couldn't get it to work. I didn't try that hard, though. So
you can basically run a program in some sort of sandbox, so it protects your computer and only runs it in a little box where it can't get out. So if you really have to, that kind of tool is available.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something I was hoping for that we'd see in Windows 10 was sandboxing of all applications.
That would be really nice, but I also think that Windows is very much a casual operating system, or it's very much used by casual people and maybe not much by
Windows is for casuals.
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't think Windows has a lot of is very focused on adding features for hardcore users. I think if you really want to go that way, you might want to go to a Unix-based system. But that's just me.
I mean, there's lots of pro features in Windows 10. I mean, it's not like they don't exist. You just need to know how to find them. So I mean,
true.
I'm going to say
plus
that
people actually develop things for Windows, so you don't really need to include everything in the base OS.
Windows 10 is a great operating system, and there's lots of little gems to be found under the hood. I should.
What's
write
your favorite gem under? Okay, yes, write an Informer article.
Yeah, and I can write 3,000 words about it.
Nice plug, Reed.
Indeed. Informer.rsvme.com. But yeah. Don't use any bloated antiviruses these days. They're bad for your system health. Well, maybe not bad, but less than optimal.
Yeah, they are. They're bad. Just go with it.
And I agree. The Halloween event did not need to be buffed. I mean, maybe because it was so grindy, but from a procedural standpoint, it was fine. The only problem was is that Well, as we found last week, after about 5 minutes, you experienced the entire event, which...
Yeah,
that's what I didn't like.
That I think it's not the problem that you gain the points very slow. It's just you get so incredibly bored doing it because there's just nothing interesting about it.
Yeah, and I mean, after the podcast, I never went back.
Nope, I did not either.
I literally did one run, and then I was like, okay, that's all. I'm not going to do it again. The rewards are not worth it, and the only time I go there now is to bring the spirits I pick up, but even that doesn't really feel worth it.
Yeah, they're 100 points each, which isn't much at all. And you don't get XP from them, so...
Well, you get XP once you catch them, so... They work a lot like the Tusca Meteors back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they gave XP like last year's Halloween event did. Remember last year's Halloween event? That one was excellent. Exercising the ghosts in Death's House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do remember that. That was pretty good.
Something like that. Yeah, I know. And, I mean, the unique light mechanic and whatnot, where you go and you hide and your scare meter goes down and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And this just felt too one-dimensional. So, yeah. I mean, maybe buff it because it's just so boring, but the points did come in fast enough. It was just too grind-worthy. So I guess that's the middle road on your question, Parnassius. All right. Let's have Sirion read the question from Jade Gizmo here.
All right, then. What's something about RuneScape that makes you sad? For me, it's in Dungeoneering, where there are three NPCs named Forgotten Warrior, Mage, etc. Forgotten. Examining them reads, has long been forgotten. That's sad. Also, the entire meeting history quest hits me in the feels. Oh wow, that's a tongue breaker for me. Alright. What makes me sad? I assume content wise, because I can say a lot of things about RuneScape that makes me sad, but that's more on the meta level, so
yeah.
I'm gonna go for the cliche here and say the Wildgutting Sleeps quest. And, of course, the World Wakes was pretty sad.
It hit you in the feels?
It hit me in the feels.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I actually thought that if I can spoil that far ahead, that like returning to Godix in the 7th quest was a bit more confronting than the actual death, because you were like... Oh, right.
Yeah.
He's actually dead.
Yeah, but yeah. So there we go. That made me sad.
Yeah, and we did it with time travel. And Mod Raven had the best answer at RuneFest about time travel. No. No. We're going to forget that key. No, it's very bad.
Yeah.
I think that's my best Raven impression.
Mm. We're going to forget what?
The key that used time travel.
Mm-hmm. The key is evil.
Okay.
Key is very, very evil.
Okay.
But for me, maybe Zanuck or the Dragonkin, where we had to send him back to his planet.
I must return to my people.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys send the Dragonkin back to live out his days, or...?
I don't remember.
Yes, I think I sent him back, but I'm not entirely sure. But I think I did, because I just didn't trust Karapak.
Yeah. And that was in... Oh, dear. What quest was that in?
The Dragon King.
One of a Kind.
Ah, there you go. Right on, then.
Right on.
Okay. But yeah, meeting history, I guess because you go back into the past and you learn about the early history of RS, that could be the case. The looking forward into the future, I think one quest that'll all hit us in the feels will be the Gower quest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. That one will.
That's going to be such a good quest when it comes out.
It has Hopefully.
To be. It We're going to need to do a 3-hour episode on that.
Oh.
Okay,
we did
two.
It before. We did it before.
For RuneFest. For RuneFest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I give full credit to anyone who sat through that entire thing.
You can contact the RSBNB staff for your reward on this and this phone number.
On Twitter at RSBNB staff.
There you go.
Yeah, and Shane will give you money.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't I get paid?
That's a good question. I'll pay you an RS later.
Okay. All right. I'll allow
but,
it.
Yeah, Sirion and I for 3 hours talking RuneFest. Anyways, any other emotional parts of RS?
Just what's been mentioned before. I can't, nothing other than that really stands out to me.
Yeah, and the whole Guthex quest where he died was amplified by the atmosphere created with the lighting and, of course, the music as well, I think.
Oh, dear, the music. Wow.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. But anyways, maybe next week someone will ask a meta question where we can talk about what makes us sad about RS.
And you can submit questions at...
questions@rsbnb.com, but it's not exactly time for that yet. We got one more question from Thieves that you should read.
Hey, fellas. Just wanted to say a huge congrats to Shane hitting 104 million farming. Quick question. Assuming you're free sometime and don't feel like playing RS, what other hobbies would you guys be getting up to instead? Thanks, guys. Hope to get online again sometime soon. All right, so when I'm free, I'm not playing RS. I'm either riding my bike, playing something like Fallout or Team Fortress 2, or I'm on the Xbox. Hanging out with friends, watching hockey.
Yeah, that about describes Reed.
What about you, Shane, Sirion?
Oh, let Sirion go first.
What is this magic called free time you're talking about?
Right?
Mm-hmm. What do I do in my free time? I'm one of those nerds that actually goes programming and such in my free time. I mean, right?
Nerd.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that as well.
Nerd.
See, we told you coming in here that Sirion and I are very similar. But, okay. Anything else, Sirion?
Not much, actually. Like, I play other games, but I'm one of those types that has a different favorite game every other day or so. So... that changes.
All right. Well, I guess for me, I kind of already said I do partially what Sirion does as well. But in addition to that, I can be found, you know, with Reed on TF2 and various other games sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
He really enjoys beating me on Xbox NHL.
So you finally admit that it's not playing, it's winning.
What?
Well, before you would just say, playing.
Oh, well, both. And maybe that's why I let up sometimes on you.
Right.
Well, there's no real human way to have 35 minutes of penalties, right?
I do it.
But intentionally or no?
Sometimes I'm just dicking around.
See, and that's what I say. That's what I said I do sometimes. There you go.
Or is it just give up?
No, never give up.
No.
Oh, and of course, I do have to listen to those kind of voices and whatnot. So, But if you want to hear more Reed voices like that, you should definitely come hang out in the Mumble server on PC Gaming Tuesdays or any other day of the week when you see people.
10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And if we're playing on our own server, well, Reed has his collection of Shane sounds.
That you can play, but I think you broke them.
No, not intentionally.
It wasn't me.
There's another one of them, but anyways.
No.
Thank you, Thieves, for that question. And if anyone else wants to submit questions, just head on over to update.rsmb.com/ask, and it'll take you to the forum topic where you can use the forums to do that. Or you can email questions@rsbnb.com. We also take audio questions there. Just attach your question and send us an email. And finally, we have the Uncle Dano hotline at 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. The
nice
operator is standing by. I know,
and
right?
By operator, he means just the voicemail.
Exactly. All right. Well, on to tech news we go then. So, I put this one in here for you, that Microsoft is working on a dedicated Cortana wearable.
Oh, boy.
And it's going to be a little voice clip that goes into your ear.
Hmm. Oh, that reminds me of some science fiction.
I know, right? So basically, you'll put this thing in your ear, then you'll be able to say, "Hey, Cortana." And then it will activate, and you'll be able to do, you know, all the Cortana stuff that you normally do, and the information will be delivered directly into your ear.
And does it, like, connect to, like, your phone over Bluetooth, or...?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's going to be called the Moto Hint, so obviously built by Motorola, and they say, and I quote, "It'll be aimed primarily at busy women." And it's in the early stages of development.
What?
That's what the page here says.
Busy women?
Yeah. My face right now is like, what?
Yeah, busy I don't know. But
what?
I don't know. I think anyone could make use of this, though.
It's going to make bus rides even more confusing, because even right now already, people are like all of a sudden starting phone calls out of the blue. Because they have,
yeah,
like
my Bluetooth
headsets.
Headphones. Like, I'm biking and I get a text message and I'm just like, read it.
Yeah.
And I get weird looks sometimes.
Yeah.
So I have to say it loudly and clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
When I'm on the bus ride, people are doing that all around me, and it's really confusing because you never know if they're talking at you or what's going on.
I don't know if anyone would want to talk to you, Sirion.
Damn!
Wow. Wow.
Well, I mean, if you... Like, that's not meant as that no one would want to talk to you. It's meant that if you're doing your own stuff...
How is that supposed to be interpreted?
Well, if he's doing his own stuff, like if he's on his telephone or if he's on his computer, you know, they might not want to interrupt him.
Are people not friendly in other countries?
Sure.
No, like, that's a serious question, because here in the U.S., you're sitting on the bus next to someone, even if you don't know them. A lot of the times, you just start a conversation with them. Does that not happen?
No.
Their countries?
Not really.
Nope.
Ah, y'all are rude.
Okay, but it's going to be called the Moto Hint, and... It's basically going to be like an earbud that sits in the ear.
Cool.
Could also potentially work with Siri and Google, but it's going to be built for Cortana. And of note here, they also say Cortana can also be used on Microsoft's new Band 2 for workout reminders and guided training. But the fitness tracker is, of course, worn on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. Have you decided on that?
It's expensive.
Yeah, it is. It looks like It looks like it doesn't have...
Maybe the band three.
Yeah. You could join a band with that.
I don't get it.
All right. Next piece of tech news revolves around an update to the Google Inbox email app. Is anyone using Inbox still?
The hell is Inbox?
That's the one that came out earlier in the year. It turns your Gmail inbox into a to-do list, and you can swipe things away and whatnot.
No, man.
It's the revolution of email.
Is it?
No. I don't like that way of doing email, but anyways. You know how you can get those automated responses on your text messages, right? Like someone sends you a text message and it'll try and guess what you want to reply with, right?
Yeah.
This is going to do that for email now.
Oh, boy.
So the example they give is someone was inviting someone to an early Thanksgiving on November 22nd. Please bring your favorite dish. And then the options are count us in. We'll be there. Sorry, we won't be able to make it. That's option one. Then for the second example, it's an email entitled Server Issues. And the email says, hi, team. The server appears to be dropping about 10% of requests. There hasn't been a new release since last night, so I'm not sure what's going on. Is anyone looking into this? Options are, I'll check on it. I'll see if I can find out. I'm on it. So it's very, very, very tailored to the current application or the current message.
Yeah, they use some sort of machine learning technique behind the scenes, so that's pretty interesting. It doesn't really feel very revolutionary or something, but
yeah,
I guess it's kind of cool.
We've had it in text messages for like 3 years, so
yeah. But for text messages, it makes sense because typing things on the phone is a bit of a pain. But for emails, I usually prefer just typing it myself. I feel it's left.
Wait,
left.
So this is on the desktop, not the mobile app?
No, this is on the mobile app.
Mm. Oh,
okay. Because for like desktop applications, I don't think it makes a lot of sense because I think you will spend more time in looking for the right answer than just
typing,
hitting the answer in on your keyboard. But for mobile apps, I guess.
Yeah. And for anyone who's interested in the technology behind it, there is a full documentation here. Well, not full, but a brief outline of how it works. So if you're at all interested in that kind of thing, definitely take a look. Looks fun. All right. Anything else on that one?
Nope.
All right. Well, this next one isn't exactly a piece of tech news story, but we can talk about it, right?
We have to talk about it.
I know. We are getting... No, it's not an Apple story. You don't need to sigh.
Oh, thank God.
Sirion had put an Apple story in tech news, and I removed it.
What's wrong with you? You aren't Shane. You're an imposter.
Anyways, we are getting a new Star Trek series in January of 2017.
Hooray!
It's going to premiere on TV, on CBS, and then after that, it's going to be streaming online on CBS All Access. So, I mean, not Netflix, not something most people have, but I don't know. You think people will subscribe for this?
I will consider doing it, definitely. I mean, I never expected to see new episodes of Star Trek, so I think it's really exciting. I think there are actually people working on it that also are working on the current Star Trek movie, so that's quite promising.
Well, the previous two, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty exciting, especially because when I watch Star Trek these days, I'm like, I would be so interested in seeing what they can do with like the CGI techniques they have these days, because that would be amazing. Like the current Star Trek movies, they look awesome. They just don't really have that Star Trek feel to them because they, I don't know. And with these series, they go back to like the whole exploration theme. So,
well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. We haven't heard anything about what's actually going
if
to
they
happen
can,
with this.
If they can catch that Star Trekiness of the old days and put it into like a modern package, it can be very successful and very amazing, I think. But we have to see. I mean, Enterprise got cancelled after 4 seasons, so it's really just a question whether people still want it. But with this new digital format, it might be a lot more sustainable. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. Enterprise was the most serialized Star Trek of any that had ever been done. Mm-hmm. And it was probably about 8 to 10 years too early on that front of serialized drama. Mm-hmm. On TV.
Yep.
So there might be a way of going about that now that they couldn't have done in the past. Mm-hmm. Because I will say that Enterprise in season 3 and 4 was really good. I even think the earlier ones were good as well.
I agree too that that series was just really good, and I don't know.
Yeah. Reed, have you watched Enterprise yet?
I haven't finished.
Okay.
But yeah, what I heard is that, that right now, this new Star Trek will not be linked to any of the existing two universes, but we'll have to see how they are going to put it in the Star Trek canon, because with a franchise like this, you have to do something with that.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this. CBS is producing this, and CBS owns the rights to everything prior to 2009, whereas Paramount owns the movies after 2009. So one would think that it's going to be in the original prime timeline, which I would be happy with, even if they said it in the future. So I think that would be the way to go with it. And let's just hope that whoever's behind it knows what they're doing and doesn't make it some knockoff like the movies were. And when I say that, I mean the movies were good, but
they just didn't
weren't all there.
They didn't catch the thing. There's some sort of thing in Star
the
Trek
Star
that makes
Trek-ness.
It Star Trek. Indeed.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. You got it. Yeah. Reed, you watched the 2 Star Trek movies, yeah?
No.
Oh. Okay, then. Well, I don't think you missed out on much then, but...
Mm. Except for bazillion lens flares, but...
Except for what?
A bazillion lens flares.
Yay!
Well, I think it's about time we check in on Skill of the Month, then. Sound good?
Sure.
Well, this month's Skill of the Month is Defense, and Flash is currently in first place with 1.2 million XP gained. Second place is Metal Maniac 9 with 384,000, and third is Minor Goo with 28,000 XP gain.
Mm, quite the difference.
Indeed. Tim has entered in this one, but he has got 0 XP so far.
Tim!
Well, I mean, at least he's giving other people a chance, right?
I guess.
Yeah. All right, defense, kind of boring. Let's move on to the achievables of the week, then. This week, Jungle Biscuit, I'm assuming that's what your name's supposed to be, got 99 fletching on November 2nd. Congratulations. Jungle Biscuit also got 99 runecrafting on November 1st, and 99 fishing on October 31st. So 3 achievements from the same person in the span of 3 days. Well done.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Runecrafting and fishing and fletching. I wonder if runecrafting was done with the Abyss or Runespan.
Probably Runespan.
Okie dokie. Well, I believe Sirion has a pick of the week for us.
I have a pick of the week for you. So about 2 weeks ago, I stumbled across a YouTube channel. It's called PBS Spacetime. There will be a link in the show notes, probably. I'll make Shane do it. So it's one of those channels on YouTube that explains a lot of things. This one stood out for me because they actually catch on pretty difficult stuff like general relativity. Ooh. And that stuff is not easy to understand and easy to grasp, but they put it in nice packages, nice format that is quite easy to follow and also works really well to just rewatch if you want to like repeat on it. So I've pretty much watched every video on that channel. It's not that old of a channel yet, and they have weekly videos of like 10 minutes each, so they're really nice length for me because I can put them in my breaks, as opposed to some of the other channels that have like really long videos. So yeah, they don't have that many videos. Oops. Yet. Probably watch all of them in one afternoon, but I really got an interesting understanding of difficult topics like general relativity. So definitely check it out. Yeah.
There you go. Oh wow. Is gravitational waves discovered? Real possibilities for interstellar travel. Is warp drive mm-hmm. possible? Black holes. Mm-hmm. Which particle wins the race? The leap second explained. And can a circle be a straight line?
Yeah.
Oh, so, and of course, White Christmas in Australia.
Yeah. So you will have to, you will need like a bit of mathematical understanding to it to actually grasp it, because they go into really deep stuff. But usually it's just set your perceptions of the current universe aside and stand open for new things, because some things are pretty unintuitive, but that's just how physics probably works. It's all just theory, but yeah, it's really interesting and gives you a really different look at how certain things work. And yeah, I think that that's a good thing. And I'm a huge fan of bringing science and this kind of stuff to the bigger audience, just to give them this bigger view of what's around us and the general understanding of the universe.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, that's something that Sorry. that's something that Star Trek was good at too. I mean, not exactly mm-hmm. hard science, but just getting people interested in the potential of science, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good there's places like this. And, you know, that is one thing I commend the American people for, is that they have PBS and it's totally funded without any government support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funded by viewers like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever watched PBS Sirion, but that's something they always say at the end of their shows.
No, it's in the middle.
Oh, it's in the middle.
It's in the middle, Shane. There might be at the ends, too.
Yeah.
But some shows, there's like a middle bit, or it goes to schools or some shit.
Yeah.
Or some shit, yes.
That's a perfect way of describing stuff.
Right?
You both are being very specific.
That's what we do at the end of the show, because we're just...
Mm-hmm. I like doing that in general.
And it gets the job done most of the time, right?
It's a joke.
Oh,
but neither of you seem to have gotten it. I like to be specific in general.
Oh! Whoosh.
Whoosh over my head. Yeah.
Yeah. No. We don't need that gif yet. But anyways.
Yeah, that would involve me standing up.
Oh, dear.
That's not going to happen.
All right. So, Sirion, what you been up to this week?
What have I up to? Still lots of work. I'm working still on the same project as last time. Also still working on getting a job. So going to interviews, preparing interviews, catching up on a lot of math and programming I did in university, but that apparently I have already forgotten a lot of, so trying to catch up on that again. And yeah, that's it. I haven't really gotten a lot of time to play games, and so in RuneScape itself, I haven't been doing a lot. I finished the elite set of the Framenic area, so that's pretty cool. That was a long-standing goal. And
doesn't that need the Dungeoneering sagas?
Hmm?
Don't you need the Dungeoneering sagas for that?
No, that's for the Dungeoneering set, I think.
Oh my god, okay.
But yeah, I did those ages ago, the Unabridged one, so no worries there. And yeah, in real life, the big thing this week was my graduation ceremony. So now I officially am done with university. So whether that's a good thing or not, I'm still not sure of, but that's over now.
I think that's a good thing, so.
I wouldn't mind just going back to the lecture room and sitting at lectures, because I really enjoyed that, and I'm sure I would still would. So I'm actually kind of sad that that's over now, but doing another study is unaffordable.
All right. Hey, well, full
commendations. It's unaffordable?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor you Europeans with your what's the word, Shane? Subsidized.
Yeah.
Education. It's only like a couple of thousand US dollars. Woe is you.
That is true compared to the American education system, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
This week on RS, for me, as you guys know, last week before the show got 120 farming, so we'll just mention that again. But since then, I have been getting 96 slayers so I could go kill the ice wyverns for you guys, just to, you know, ensure
wyverns.
That... Wyverns, whatever, same thing. But just to ensure that I could get a valid opinion of them. And I mean, 96 Slayer might as well, right? But aside from that, not much. How about you, Reed?
Been really busy. Not had much free time. In that free time, I've been playing Halo 5. Getting ready for Fallout 4 next Tuesday.
Legacy of the Void as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of schoolwork, figuring out my life for the next few years. Yeah, that's about it.
All right, well, that sounds good. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about this week before we go then. So, with that being said, thank you, Sirion, for joining us on the show.
No problem.
Indeed, it's always nice to hear your voice. It's very relaxing.
It really is. It really is. I'd like him to teach a math class.
I would fall asleep.
Oh. Oh. Because his voice is relaxing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. We got that out of the way. Anyways, then, we'll see you guys all next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. It's been Shane, Sirion, and Earth. Bye-bye.
Bye, friends. Bye.